Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation: if the fruits are distributed all over the world, my reputation as a pious man will be known everywhere, and thus all people will glorify my name with great pleasure. Purport: this prediction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now actually coming to pass. The Krishna consciousness movement is being distributed all over the world through the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And people who were leading confused, chaotic lives are now feeling transcendental happiness. Isn't it? You feel transcendental happiness? Anyway, we at least have to make propaganda. They are finding peace in Sankirtan, and therefore they are acknowledging the supreme benefit of this movement. This is the blessing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His prediction is now factually being fulfilled, and those who are sober and conscientious are appreciating the value of this great movement. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Aknananti Minandasya Dinanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vansha Kalputurubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyarevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees. Normally I'm a very overly confident individual, but speaking in front of a lot of devotees is like kind of nerve-wracking because they already know everything. So what will you speak to enlighten them? So I seek your well wishes, especially in the form of favorable glances, not the other kind of glances, so that I don't become overwhelmed by my nerves. So do I have your blessings, your well wishes? Everyone. Thank you. So we're hearing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu address the many branches of the Chaitanya tree. There are many branches of the Chaitanya tree, and Srila Prabhupada has discussed that ISKCON is one such branch of the Chaitanya tree. Many branches, so that means there are many bona fide Gaudiya Vaishnava movements, of which ISKCON is one such bona fide movement. And Mahaprabhu is addressing those bona fide movements of his Chaitanya tree. He's making a request. So this request is also coming to us. And what is that request? Mahaprabhu is requesting the members of the Chaitanya tree to distribute the fruits of Prema Bhakti. He's asking them to distribute the fruit of Prema Bhakti, isn't it? Prabhupada, here in the purport and also in previous translations of verses, he's translated Prema Bhakti as Krishna consciousness movement. Krishna conscious movement, understand? He's translated Prema Bhakti as Krishna conscious movement. So he's asking the devotees of ISKCON and all bona fide Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition to distribute Krishna consciousness movement. Understand? How do you understand this phrase, Krishna conscious movement? Anyone can say? How do you understand this, Krishna conscious movement? Prabhupada has translated Prema Bhakti as Krishna conscious movement. How do you understand this phrase, Krishna conscious movement? Anyone can say? I can call on you randomly. All right. Anyone can say, how do you understand this phrase, Krishna conscious movement? Now you probably think it's like a trick question because, isn't it obvious? Yes, Prabhuji. Progressing forward. Movement means progressing forward. Okay. How do you understand Krishna conscious movement? This is a phrase we hear many times in Prabhupada's books, isn't it? Krishna conscious movement. How do you understand this phrase? Yes. Movement with awareness of Krishna. Yes. He gives the answer also. That's a good answer. Uh-huh. Krishna. In the movement is to spread that, yes. I'm resonating a lot with this answer here as well. Krishna conscious movement means movement that is compelled by prema bhakti. Understand? Movement that is compelled. You know this word compelled means like to force. Someone that's forced. Movement that is compelled by prema is called as Krishna conscious movement. Understand? That's in contrast to this, and the two are often placed together for the purpose of clarification. And something that we do, movement compelled by desire for personal sense enjoyment is called as sense enjoyment movement. Understand? So movement compelled by prema is called as Krishna conscious movement. And movement compelled by kama is called as sense enjoyment movement, isn't it? So this definition given earlier chapter by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, today is his disappearance day. He's defined prema in this way. And sense gratification, or kama in this way, atmindriya priti vancha tare balikam, krishnindriya priti icha dare premanam, isn't it? What is kama? Kama means the desire to satisfy one's own senses. And what is prema? The desire to satisfy the senses of Krishna. So the two are often juxtaposed in order for clarification of the difference between the two. Understand? So movement compelled by prema is called as Krishna conscious movement. And movement compelled by kama is called as? Kama movement. Sense enjoyment movement. So which movement are you a part of? Which movement are you? Krishna conscious movement or sense enjoyment movement?
Both.
So we are clarify this point. The word to be, an important word to be movement that is compelled. So the movement of the Tathastra Shakti, the Jiva, his movement is always compelled by some force or some energy. Understand? The Tathastra Shakti is moved either by the external energy of the Lord, which is something we know very well, or the Jiva is moved by the internal energy of the Lord. So one of the transformations of the internal energy of the Lord is called as Hladini Shakti. Hladini Shakti means the potency which gives pleasure to Krishna. Understand? The potency which gives pleasure to Krishna is called as the Hladini Shakti. And the essence of that Hladini Shakti is called as prema. So then when that prema is invested into the heart of a jiva, then his movement becomes impelled or compelled by that shakti or that spiritual energy. And then that movement is called as Krishna conscious movement. Therefore, we say like this, we say love of God. Why we say love of God and not love for God? Isn't that always curious? Was that ever curious for you? I always thought maybe Prabhupada, you know, Bengali, he didn't know exactly the English properly. But we say love of God, we don't say love for God, isn't it? Why we say like that? What's your answer? Yes, because prema is a transformation of Krishna's internal shakti. And therefore the love is coming from him and it's invested into the heart of the soul and then offered back towards Krishna. Therefore we say love of God and not love for God. Understand? You got that? Prabhupada knows exactly what he's talking about. Perfect translation. Love of God. So this love of God is coming from Krishna and is invested into the heart of the living entity. And then he can only think of the pleasure of Krishna. Just like in Bhagavad Gita it says, Mahatmanas tu mam partha, daivam pakritam asritaha, bhajanti ananya manaso, describing the Mahatma. So who is the Mahatma? Mahatma is one who has come under the shelter of the daivi pakriti. Daivi pakriti refers to what? The internal energy of Krishna, which and transformation of which is called as prema. So one who comes under the shelter of the Hladini Shakti, the shelter of internal energy, prema bhakti, then what is the feature of that consciousness? Bhajanti ananya manaso, his mind knows no other. The word ananya literally means no other. So his mind knows no other but Krishna. And therefore he could think only of the happiness of Krishna. So movement that is compelled by a mind that knows no other but the Supreme Lord Krishna, such movement is called as Krishna conscious movement. Understand? So how many people here are Krishna conscious movement? Your mind knows no other, only Krishna. Mind, anyone here? Any takers? Mind knows no other? No Krishna conscious movement here? In the Krishna conscious center, no Krishna conscious movement? Yeah, it's very rare actually for real Krishna conscious movement. Prema Bhakti is like this. So Lord Chaitanya is addressing the members of the Chaitanya tree, and he's asking the living, the members of this, of the various movements, to distribute Krishna conscious movement to this world. Otherwise, their movement is compelled by another force that is also described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. It's described by Krishna as well. It's known as Kama. Arjuna himself asks this question in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? I remember when I first read the Bhagavad Gita, this was the only question that made sense to me, because all the other questions seemed very random. Arjuna's questions seemed random, and Krishna's answers seemed really random. Just like Arjuna's question, how does a self-realized person sit, how does he walk, and so on. I thought that came out of the blue when I first read the Bhagavad Gita. And then Krishna says, like a tortoise withdraws his lance. I was like, how does that even answer the question? I was quite bewildered. But when I came to this question, Arjuna asked the question, by what force is one compelled to sinful activity? Even though not desiring, anichana pivarshanaya, he's not desiring to do so, but it's as if compelled by force he is doing. You have this experience of doing some sinful activity? Sinful activity means anything we do for our sins gratification is called sinful activity. Gaudiya conception of sinful activity is blanket, like that blanket statement. Anything you do for your sense gratification, call it sinful activity. Even if you breathe the air for your sense gratification, it's sinful activity. You understand? Anything one does for his own sense gratification is called sinful activity. So Arjuna asks this question, by what force is one impelled to sinful activity, even though not desiring to do so? So then to that, Krishna says what? It is calm only. Kama esha krodha esha raja guna sumo. It is calm only that is forcing a living entity into this sinful activity. And then he describes his kama as a mahashino. Mahashino means as a great eater. Voracious eater, mahashino. Ashino can mean eater also. Destroyer is translated, but ashino can also mean, refer to a big eater, a voracious appetite. Like how many of you have voracious appetite after Ekadashi? Big appetite is coming, or Jamasthami, after Jamasthami, you have big appetite. So when lust is referred to as a big eater, what does it mean by a big eater? It can devour anything and everything. It never ends. When you have a really big appetite, suppose fasting Jamasthami, you have really big, huge appetite, and someone serves you peanuts for the Jamasthami feast meal, then you feel very happy. You feel very satisfied? Oh, thank you, Prabhu. You only gave me peanuts. You feel very satisfied, or you feel dissatisfied? You feel dissatisfied, isn't it? When you have big appetite, then you want to eat big meal, isn't it? So lust is compared to a great eater. Means that however much you give to it, it never becomes satisfied, and it always wants more and more, isn't it? So then this movement that is compelled by this force, kama, as we mentioned earlier, is called as the sense enjoyment movement. So there's a great difference between movement compelled by prema and movement compelled by kama. It is like day and night. Krishna's giving this example in the Bhagavad Gita. So just like, I'll give a practical example. Suppose you take midday nap. Sometimes you'd like to take midday nap. Midday nap is there. So you're asleep and you feel very tired. You take a midday nap. Then I wake you up and I say, Prabhuji, some nectarian harikata is going on downstairs. Then what do you say? Oh, Prabhuji, I didn't get enough rest. I'm feeling very tired. Maybe next time I'll go for harikata. Like that you say, isn't it? We have this experience saying like this. Then I say, Prabhu, so I come back 2 minutes later. Again, I wake you up. I say, Prabhu, downstairs there is pizza and cheesecake. Then immediately you jump up with great excitement and run downstairs. Oh, I thought you were feeling very tired. What happened? You understand? When a movement compelled by desire to please Krishna is called as Krishna conscious prema bhakti movement. Understand? So then I wake you up and I say that hari nectarian harikata is going on. Immediately you jump up to hear the glories of Krishna. But we don't always have such experience like this, isn't it? You have experience like this, feeling so enthusiastic for Krishna consciousness. Usually harikata, especially here in Krishna consciousness, we struggle a lot, isn't it? Keep the head on the shoulder, struggle a lot. But as soon as we hear about prasadam, of course you may say, prasadam is also Krishna consciousness, it's been offered to Krishna. But we don't think of prasadam in terms of being offered to Krishna, we think of it in terms of our sense enjoyment. And so we show a great enthusiasm for gratifying our senses. And therefore, a lot of our discussions may be about prasadam and so on. And so therefore, there's a difference between Krishna conscious movement and sense enjoyment movement. If I say Hari Katha, immediately we say Om Namo Bhagavate. The devotee is joking this way. Immediately the head becomes very heavy, isn't it? You find it hard to stay awake. As soon as you hear the prasadam prayers, Mahaprasada Govinda, then immediately you become enthusiastic, isn't it? So which movement are you a part of? Be honest. Which movement you a part of? Krishna conscious movement or sense enjoyment movement? Huh? A hybrid? You're the hybrid. Which movement are you a part of? Hybrid? No one wants to admit they're part of the sense enjoyment movement, huh? I'll admit, I'm part of the sense enjoyment movement. Huh? Because as conditioned souls, we've been moved by karma since time immemorial. So everyone is actually a part of this sense enjoyment movement. And why is it that a devotee is able to move always for the pleasure of Krishna only, and we find it very difficult to move for the pleasure of Krishna only? Okay, we try to move for the pleasure of Krishna by following the instructions of the spiritual master and so on. But we find it somewhat challenging to do so all the time, or only, exclusively, only for the pleasure of Krishna. Why is it that the devotee finds it so easy to move only for the pleasure of Krishna? So this is also speaks of another feature of prema bhakti. There's a very beautiful verse of in the Bhagavatam that I like. Vishidriti hidayam na yasya saksha darirava pogho ganasha pranaya rasanaya dritangri padma sabhaviti bhagavata pradana ukta. Because the nature of prema is that it takes shelter of one living entity and takes another entity as its object of love. Understand? That's called, so the entity in which prema takes shelter is called as Ashraya Vigraha. You've heard this language before from Nectar Devotion. And that object which prema takes as his beloved is called as the Vishaya Vigraha, isn't it? So the devotee is called as Ashraya Vigraha, or he's also referred to as Bhagavat Pradhana. Bhagavat Pradhana. So in order to understand the nature of prema, you have to see the nature of devotees. Because prema has taken shelter of the heart of a devotee, prema's nature can only be understood by examining the lives of devotees, understand? Because it's an internal energy of Krishna. How you understand the internal energy of Krishna? In fact, I think, I don't know if this is true, but I think even material science does not know how to define energy itself. Energy is somewhat of a mystery for material science. So what to speak of, and that's just the phenomenal energy, Maya Shakti. So what to speak of the internal energy, how you understand the internal energy? No one can understand the internal energy. So in our attempts to comprehend the internal energy, the inner power of Krishna, we have to look at the lives of devotees in whom that inner power is taking shelter. You understand? Called as Ashraya Vigraha or Bhagavat Pradhana. So this verse is speaking about the Bhagavat Pradhanas, those pure devotees of the Lord. It's speaking of a special power of prema. So in this verse, Vishidriti Hridayam Na Yasya Sakshat, it mentions that the Lord is Yasya Sakshat. He has directly appeared in the heart of his devotee. Understand? By prema, he has directly come inside the heart of the devotee. Vishidriti Hridayam Na. Vishidriti means he is not able to leave that heart of the devotee. Why is he not able to leave? Normally, holy name leaves us very quickly, isn't it? As soon as we start japa, holy name leaves. Isn't it? Hare Krishna, Hare. Holy name leaves and sense objects come into the mind. Isn't it? Oh, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm tired, my bed, my sleeping bag, isn't it? As soon as you start chanting, holy name, Krishna leaves very fast when we start chanting, isn't it? How many of you think only of Krishna when you chant? Huh? Any Krishna conscious movement? Huh? How many think only of Krishna? So Krishna leaves very fast when we chant, but it says of the Bhagavad Pradhana, that Krishna is not able to leave his mind. Why is Krishna not able to leave his mind? Pranaya rasanaya dritangri padma. Because the devotee is taking the ropes of prema and shackled Krishna. Understand? The prema is described as a rope. And he has taken that rope and bound Krishna's feet. And so therefore, when Krishna tries to leave his mind, Krishna can't go anywhere. Huh? Because he's shackled down by the rope of prema. You understand? So prema is described like this, like a chain. This is a weapon. Huh? The atheists, they want to conquer Krishna by mental speculating. That is not a good method. Huh? We don't disagree with their ideology to conquer Krishna. That is also the idea of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, huh? That we want to conquer Krishna. But their methodology is a wrong methodology. They try to conquer Krishna by just writing books and mental speculating. And as a result of that, they get repeated birth and death, probably in a lower species of life. But we also agree with the ideology of conquering Krishna. But how do you conquer Krishna? You need to get this rope, this special rope. This rope of prema bhakti. And so the devotee, Krishna comes in his mind, and the devotee takes this rope of prema and ties Krishna in his mind. Therefore, Krishna is not able to leave. And therefore, bhajanti ananya manaso, the devotee knows no other but Krishna. And therefore, because he's always thinking of Krishna, he finds it very easy to move only for the pleasure of Krishna. Why do we find it very difficult to move only for the pleasure of Krishna? Because we're not thinking of Krishna, isn't it? Kama works in a different way. Kama is also a chain. And what does kama do? Kama ties the sense objects into our mind, isn't it? So it is also a chain that ties the sense objects into the mind. The Bhagavatam describes in this way. The mind is always entering sense objects, and sense objects are always entering into the mind. Understand? The mind enters sense objects as contemplation, isn't it? Contemplating sense. Even during class, you contemplate sense objects, isn't it? What sense object are you contemplating right now? Tell honestly. Nothing? He does not tell the truth. What sense object you're contemplating right now? Tell. Simon?
Yes, sir.
What sense object you are contemplating? You're trying to figure out which one I can share openly. In the open class. What sense object are you thinking of? Oh, thank you. Trying to hear sound, sense object. So the mind is always thinking of, it enters sense objects in the form of contemplation. And then sense objects enter the mind in the form of desire, isn't it? So our mind enters sense objects by contemplating them. If you didn't contemplate the sense objects, they wouldn't have any influence on your being. But because our minds are always entering the sense objects as contemplation, those sense objects come into the mind as desire. You understand? You following? So this relationship creates a chain that keeps the living entity moving only for its sense enjoyment movement. This relationship creates a chain. Can you see it? It's a relationship between the mind and the sense object. That relationship creates a chain that binds the living entity to moving only for its own pleasure. So therefore, the reason we find it difficult to move only for Krishna is because we cannot think of anything but the sense objects. Therefore, what do we move for? We move for the pleasure of the senses, isn't it? Amindriya Priti Vancha. Why do we move only for the pleasure of the senses? Because we can think only of the senses. We find it very hard to think of Krishna. And what is the nature of that form of meditation, that form of contemplation? We were hearing yesterday what he was quoting. The nature of kama is that it covers the knowledge of the living entity. Avritam ganan etena ganina nitya verina. He's described as an eternal enemy in the form of lust. And his feature is dushprena analena cha. Dushprena means agitating the mind and senses, like a burning fire. One's senses and mind becomes afflicted by desire to achieve the sense objects, isn't it? Your senses and mind become agitated, and when you try to satisfy, it is not satisfied. This is the nature of kama. So in the material world, no one is peaceful because their minds are always afflicted by desires for sense enjoyment, sense movement. So the nature of thinking always of Krishna is one feels peace, one feels happy. And the nature of thinking of kama or moving for the pleasure of one's own senses is one always feels agitated, isn't it? I think Prahlad Maharaj is noted for saying that if you want to be happy in this material world, then stop trying to be happy in this material world. I think Prahlad Maharaj is known for saying this. Because as soon as you try to be happy in this material world, at that moment, your distress begins. The senses become afflicted in this way. So those who are moving for the pleasure of the senses, they are afflicted, they are unhappy. They cannot know peaceful life. And therefore, Mahaprabhu is requesting the members of the Chaitanya Tree to distribute this Krishna conscious movement. This movement out of love of Krishna, out of thinking only for the pleasure of Krishna. So how is that movement distributed? How is the movement distributed? Prabhupada says it's distributed all over the world through the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. So we're asked to distribute prema bhakti, by distributing the holy name of Krishna. Understand? One has to, of course, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can get this weapon, special weapon of prema bhakti, and call Krishna, display Krishna, come. And when Krishna comes, you can attack him, so to speak, with love, with prema, binding Krishna in your mind, and that way you can move only for his pleasure. And by that movement, you can know param shanti, you can know supreme peace. So you can get that prema bhakti only by chanting Hare Krishna. But what type of chanting Hare Krishna should go on? That type of chanting that is not obstructed has to go on. Only chanting that is not obstructed can get prema. What is meant by obstructed? There's two types of obstruction to our chanting. One type of obstruction is a little bit exiguously obstructed. The name can be exiguously obstructed or can be enormously obstructed. Understand? When the name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna, and it is Nija Sarva Shakti, is filled with all sorts of powers, including the inner power, which can bestow upon prema. But the experience of that holy name can be obstructed, either a little bit obstructed or a lot obstructed. When the holy name is exiguously obstructed, exiguously mean like a little bit obstructed, then that type of chanting is called as namabhas. Understand? When the holy name is enormously obstructed, that type of name is called as nam aparad. So there are three types of name. There is nama, namabhas, and nam aparad, three types of chanting. So what type of chanting can get this weapon of prema by which you can bind Krishna? Nam, sankirtan can get that weapon of prema by which you can bind Krishna. But namabhas cannot get that weapon, and nam aparad also cannot get that weapon as well. Understand? Only been chanting the holy name of Krishna purely, free from obstruction, can we get the fruit of prema bhakti. It's described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that what are the obstructions? The holy name, if compared to a sun, then these obstructions are compared to clouds. Understand? So when clouds are blocking the sun, you don't feel the full potency of the sun, isn't it? Sun is there, but you do not feel the full potency of the sun. So similarly, we chant Hare Krishna, but we don't feel the full potency of the Maha Mantra. Anyone say they feel full potency of Maha Mantra? When you chant, you mean Hare Krishna. And then you try to get your head up. You cannot do it. Why are you not feeling the heat? The beauty of the holy name. Why are you not tasting? If you were tasting, you would immediately be into ecstasy. All your hairs would be standing on end. Tears coming out of the eyes like a syringe. Like water from a syringe. And Krishna Mahaprabhu is saying like this. But when we chant, nothing's coming. Many times in Chicago, I'm from Chicago. So many times when we're chanting japa, as we're walking past each other, the devotees, we have a joke in the temple, we go like this. Nothing is coming. Why nothing is coming? Why the tears aren't coming out like water from a syringe? Because the chanting may be obstructed by the clouds. What are these clouds compared to? The clouds of anarthas. These clouds of anarthas block the experience of the holy name of Krishna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's almost 8:30, so I'm going to finish, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur categorizes anarthas into four divisions. There are anarthas that come from aparad. There are anarthas that come from asat-trishna. Asat-trishna means a thirst for the temporary, which includes desire for sense gratification in this realm, desire for swargaloka, desire for mystic powers, and also desire for liberation. Then there are anarthas that come from weakness of heart. Weakness of heart means I know I shouldn't do or think like this, but I do and think like that anyway. And I know I should do and think in this way, but I do the opposite way. This is called as weakness of heart. And weakness of heart includes such qualities such as duplicity, fault finding, envy, and the desire for recognition. This is called as weakness of heart. And then, so that's three, aparad, weakness of heart, asat-trishna, thirst for the temporary, and illusion about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, tattva-brahma. These are compared to clouds which block the experience of the holy name of Krishna. Understand? So when the holy name has all power to bestow upon us Krishna conscious movement inspired by prema, but only that name which is free from obstruction. So Mahaprabhu is asking us to distribute the name that is free from obstruction. by which the living entities in this world can actually benefit by getting the weapon of prema by which they can bind Krishna to their hearts and to their minds. He's asking us to distribute that sort of holy name. In the world today, kirtan is becoming quite popular. In America, even, they have something called the American Kirtan Movement. And part of this American Kirtan Movement, there are no devotees. Part of the American Kirtan Movement, but their kirtan has become quite popular. And chanting Hare Krishna is even quite popular amongst persons in this American Kirtan Movement. And they chant Hare Krishna, they get others to chant Hare Krishna, so that's very nice, of course. Definitely chanting Nama Parada or Nama Bas, most likely, but nevertheless, they're chanting, which is very nice. And in that way, people become inspired for sense gratification, usually, in my observation. I've been to a lot of the places, and they, you know, chant and dance, you know, and then after that, etc. Sense gratification. But, so there are many persons who are distributing the holy name of Krishna. This is the kind of point I'm making. But Maharu is asking us to distribute the holy name of Krishna that is unobstructed by these anarthas, which actually block the real benefit that one can get from chanting the holy name of Krishna. So he wants us to distribute the fruit of prema. That fruit of prema can be distributed only through the chanting of the holy name that is unobstructed, sankirtan. And by that sankirtan, Prabhupada says, now people who were leading confused and chaotic lives are now feeling transcendental happiness. They are finding peace in sankirtan. So this is a result of the sankirtan movement. I'll end with these two verses from the Bhagavatam. There's a verse that mentions that these great people who are Aryas, who are learned persons, they glorify the age of Kali. Kalim Sabhajayanti Arya. They glorify the age of Kali. Why do they glorify the age of Kali? This is coming in the section of the Bhagavatam that talks about the different types of Yuga avatars. And then after glorifying the different types of Yuga avatars, a hypothetical question is posed in the commentaries of our acharyas. Which Yuga is the best Yuga? Which Yuga is the best Yuga? So it says that these great learned persons, they glorify the age of Kali. Out of all the ages, they glorify the age of Kali. Kalim Sabhajayanti Arya. Why they glorify the age of Kali? Gunakya Sarabhagina. Gunakya means that because they are knowers of quality. They know what is quality. And Sarabhagina, they are essence seekers. Sarabhagina means they seek the essence. Out of, just like I think the example is given of a swan. So just as a swan knows how to seek the essence, he can take, in a mixture of milk and water, he can take only the milk. That's remarkable, isn't it? How is that possible? Anyway, such learned persons are sarabhangina, learned persons who can take the essence. So what is that essence? Why do they glorify the age of Kali? Yatra sankirtane naiva sarvaswarto abhilabhyate. Because just by sankirtan, one can achieve all one's desires. Sarvaswarto. Even your material desires. You have some material desires? Anyone here has material desires? Then you chant Nama Parada. That will fulfill your material desires even. And if you have spiritual desires for prema, then you chant Hare Krishna, Sankirtan, then that can deliver to one that prema bhakti also. Understand? So the great learned person, they glorify this age of Kali because one can achieve all success in any of the desires just by performance of Sankirtan. And then in the second verse after that, it says, Nahyanto paramo labho dehinam brahmyatam iha. That there is no greater achievement in this world than this Sankirtan. For those conditioned souls who are brahmyatam iha, wandering all over the world. Why are they wandering all over the world? Brahmyatam iha, wandering all over the universe. Brahmanda brahmite. Why are they wandering? Why living entities are wandering in this world? Because of?
Unlimited desire.
Unlimited desire. Because of kama, right? Because they're part of the sense enjoyment movement. So they're constantly moving around this world and they cannot stop. This is a type of bondage. Just like there are two types of bondage. One type of bondage is where you can't move. And another type of bondage is where you can't stop moving. Just like walking on hot sand. Have any of you ever been to Puri and you walk on the hot sand? I went to Puri last year. And I went to take a walk with some of the devotees. And one devotee was speaking to me very nice, and we were just walking on the sand. After 30 seconds, I had to run. I walked like halfway into the beach, and then I started running. So this is the type of movement that goes on in the material world, a bondage where you can't stop moving. And every time you move, you become more implicated in the material nature. Understand? Every time you move, then you become more and more entrenched, like quicksand. I've never been in quicksand, but I've seen a lot of movies, and in the movies, when someone is drowning in quicksand, then the more they fight, the faster they sink in the quicksand, isn't it? Is it like this? Anyone knows for a fact that it's like this? Or are you also from movies only? You're saying. Anyway, like this, the more you struggle, the faster you sink. So this is the material world. It is a type of bondage where your movement causes one to become more implicated. So Brahmiya Tamihab, for living entities who are constantly moving in this world, they will find no superior shelter, paramalobo, than this Sankirtan. And what do they gain by this supreme attainment of Sankirtan? Then the verse says, Yato Vindeta Paramashantam. They gain supreme peace, Paramshantam. According to Jiva Goswami, Paramshantam refers to prema. They gain love for Krishna. And that's the primary result of Sankirtan. And the secondary result, Nashuti Samshuti. They go back to Godhead. They cut off their bondage to the material existence. So Prabhupada says this, that by this Sankirtan, those who were leading confused, chaotic lives are now feeling transcendental happiness. They are finding peace in Sankirtan. That's how that verse came to my mind. And therefore, they are acknowledging the supreme benefit of this movement. So Lord Chaitanya is wanting the devotees to spread this type of movement so that others, when they see it, if they are sober and thoughtful persons, which is somewhat rare to find in Kali Yuga, but if they are critical thinkers, then by seeing the movement of persons who are actually inspired by love, then they will glorify Lord Chaitanya's movement. And by that glorification, they can also become connected or involved in Krishna conscious movement, directly or indirectly, and that way make gradual progress towards the spiritual reality. So this is a short purport, but this is what I could understand. So are there any questions or comments? I think the class here goes on until 8:45, is it? Because it starts later? Oh, it goes to 9 o'clock. Okay, so I gave short enough. So some questions or discussion, yeah. And then.